Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get up, get up, get up. It's a Get Up Show.
Welcome, friends. We're so excited.
Yeah.
OMG.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Simon Says Podcast with the Get Up Show here. I'm Sean and Charlie and Maddie over there.
Hello there.
What's up?
This is podcast number 52. Be sure that you subscribe and like it and share it and love it and rub it all over your body.
Make sure your friends are rubbing it on their bodies, too.
That's yeah.
But don't rub it on your friends' bodies. Not yet, anyway. Maybe Fauci says you can rub things on your friends' bodies by fall.
Well, if you got a big stick.
I guess.
Yeah, just tie it to the stick and poke at them with
yeah.
it. There
yeah,
you go.
Put it on the end of the stick.
I don't think they'll still be your friends.
Oh, come on. Live a little.
Yeah.
You can do it. So welcome. Welcome to the podcast. It's been a big week. Inauguration yesterday, which, you know, wait, no, that's today. We're not doing this in the future.
No.
It's on right now. And Kamala Harris is being sworn in while we're talking right now. And I wish we could do this and watch it at the same time, but I don't think that's fair.
No, nope.
So.
Duty calls.
That's right.
I would definitely not do that. You guys just talk amongst yourselves.
I was so scared that something stupid was going to happen after what happened 2 weeks ago at the Capitol. But so far, so good. It's they're just starting the inauguration ceremonies now.
Yes.
But good God, I have a real good feeling about it right now. So
how crazy
peaceful.
Is it? Like the entire mall covered in flags.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I mean, just picture that job.
But it looks amazing.
No,
it's so beautiful.
Is. But God, that's how many did they say is like 200,000 flags?
Neat.
Yeah.
What happens to those? Because that would be a great keepsake, wouldn't it? To end up with one of those flags.
I'm sure they're going to do something cool with it. I would hope they don't just go, let me get this giant trash bag.
It'll be on eBay because that's like the
that's true.
Easter egg roll that they do at the White House. Every year when they do that, I go on eBay and look for the eggs from the previous years, and you can always find them. Like, what kid gets that wooden egg from the White House and goes home and their parents take it and sell it on eBay? What kind of house
is
that?
You think they get home? It's happening in the car. They're on the metro, and their parents are like, give me that egg.
It's the rule. The president said, I have to take that egg. I'll stop at the, you know, Walgreens and get you a whole bag of eggs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yay, candy. Okay.
Sean, I actually hate that you're having to work right now and you can't watch this because your girl Lady Gaga belted out the national anthem.
Oh,
and now
her.
Hot and Tot J-Lo is singing something. And it's
I
mean, all your favorites are.
She's singing Jenny from the Block.
Wait.
Yeah.
You got two of them. Is Miley Cyrus there, too?
I'm sure she's waiting in the wings.
She's going to do some covers.
My head's going to explode.
Metallica.
Look, she rocked doing Metallica.
Yeah. All
you
right.
said so.
So did Gaga, though. When Gaga did that video, that thing with Metallica on that awards show, and she had her cut-off shorts.
Nah, she rocked like that weird girl in the band, the band doing Rage Against the Machine video. I don't know if you've seen that one, but she's over-rocking.
She does everything just right. Mm-hmm. I just finished binging her American Horror Story season called The Hotel. Yeah, I did it in 2 days. I couldn't stop, man. I couldn't stop. And usually, you guys know that I'm real sensitive and things hurt my feelings. And that was gory and scary, and it was psychologically scary, and there was just all kinds of awful business going on. But I could not stop watching it. It was
okay. So did you only watch the Gaga season? You haven't watched all of them?
So far.
So you pick and choose.
But now, after watching that, if the writing on all of the seasons is that good, it's written in such a way like the words, it's often like internal, like soliloquies and things. It's not dialogue so much as when people are thinking and stuff. The way that the words come out is like a song. It's just written so well. I could not stop consuming it. It was so good.
Adam Levine in one of the seasons, like the first season or something? I know that that's next on your list to watch because, you know, Gaga, then Adam Levine, you love them both equally.
Well, I mean, I'll give it a pass because if, like I said, if the writing is that good on every single season, I'm going to go back and start at Murder House and watch them all because it blew my mind. And then to think, as I understand it, a lot of these actors are in every season. Like Sarah
Paulson.
Yeah, they
carry over and they have like connections. They're not necessarily the same character, but there's a connection between each season.
Yeah.
Speaking of her, my wife started watching Ratchet on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, Nurse Ratchet.
I was like, I'm not really into it, but I walked into the room last night and she was like mid-episode and I sat down and now I'm like, I might need to go back. But Sarah Paulson is also, you know, she's Nurse Ratchet in that. She is awesome.
She's brilliant. Great. Yeah. In this particular, is that a spoiler? Do I do a spoiler? The thing came out in 2015. So is it okay to do a spoiler?
I think you're okay. Yeah.
She plays two characters in this that are complete polar opposites, and she nails it to the point you don't recognize her from one role to the next.
She's
incredible. And I love the idea. I understand that they don't play the same characters, and that's what I love because these actors are so good. I want to see them doing other things in the other seasons. I can't wait.
But that doesn't throw you off at all? Because like I was watching, so they did that with The Haunting on Hill House and then with Bly Manor, and they had the same characters come back for different roles, like they're completely different characters. Mm-hmm. And it was part of me was like, wait a minute, but you were, you know, like one of the main guys, he's a British butler or a British driver. And then, but in the first one, he was an American junkie. So I'm like, wait a minute.
But that, you don't like that? Because I respect that so much when an actor can be completely unrecognizable role to role. You see somebody like Steven Seagal who is just that in every role.
Yeah,
you know?
Kicky foot. No, I guess I get that, and I do appreciate that. But, I mean, it's hard, too, when you think that someone nailed the character, like, in The Haunting of Hill House, like, the main actress. She was great. And then to see her in that, it was like, well, she's still great, but I'm like, oh, well, she's less ghosty in this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one of the first shows that I remember actually binge-watching that I couldn't get enough of was Orphan Black.
Yeah.
And the one main character ends up finding she has like 8 clones and each one of them has a completely different personality and she plays every single one of them. And it is amazing. I can't even remember her name now, unfortunately, but she is so good that I was just like, just blown away because they really are different people.
Was it as good as Michael Keaton in Multiplicity?
I mean, it's hard to keep up with that.
Is that the one where he duplicates himself and like
over and over
dumber
and over,
or some have different personality?
Yes,
yeah. He gets dumber and dumber as he goes. Hey, look. But speaking of horrors, speaking of chilling horrors that you can't believe you're watching it, but for some reason you have to keep watching it. What's up with that monster lady who put the SpaghettiOs and meatballs in the pie crust?
Okay,
oh my God.
You all will love her. I mean, I'm sure that the whole reason you two watched her is because she's really pretty, but...
No, 100% that wasn't what caught me.
No.
I just saw somebody posted it and said, you know, you should be... You got to check this out. And then I was like, what is she doing? And then I was like, oh God, no.
Well, what was she doing? What was her excuse for that? Because
she was cooking for the kids.
She had a pie crust, a pre-made pie crust in a you know pie pan, and it looked good. And then she dumped a can of Chef Boyardee. Was it SpaghettiOs and meatballs?
SpaghettiOs and meatballs. Yeah.
She dumped that in there, and I kind of skipped around. She put cheese in it, and then she put buttered toast on top of it.
Whoa, you missed.
Oh, no, okay. Back up. Yeah, you're missing a crucial step.
That part, I'm okay. Like, that might be neat. You could make like a spaghetti pie kind of thing. But she puts in mozzarella, and then she pours in some milk.
What?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Pours a splash of milk and the mozzarella, but then she dumps another can on top of that.
Yeah, and then some more cheese. But then the thing with the bread, she like takes like 4 slices of bread, butters them, then takes garlic powder.
And
then pounds the garlic powder into the bread with her fist. She's like,
oh my God.
Cuts the crusts off, of course, because kids don't like crusts, which again, I'm like, what? But then she tops the crazy
so that's
pie.
That's the top crust.
Yeah. Yeah, she calls that crust.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then bakes it. And then when she takes it out of the oven, she's so dang pleased with herself. Oh, this is the best one I've ever made.
But, okay. The milk terrified. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's when I was like, what's she do? What are you doing here?
But didn't you at some point, though, go, like, if you had your own leftover spaghetti or you made a whole batch of spaghetti and it's already sauced and everything, you put that in a pie crust, top it with cheese and bake it, it's a spaghetti pie. That could be actually really good.
I wouldn't use that kind of crust, though. That's not the kind of crust. I would make, like, a pizza dough crust and do, like, almost, you know, like a calzone type of thing with it.
Which you could also do with, like... So, I mean, it's funny because you see something and at first you're terrified. Like, sure. Oh, God, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
But then you're I might be able... Yeah. Like, I almost, like, the more I thought about it, because I actually... I do enjoy SpaghettiOs now and then.
Do but, you?
Yeah, they're not, I mean, in a pinch, that was like college go-to food, man.
I still eat mini raviolis all the time.
Yeah, sometimes. I can't say that I do that all the time, and I haven't in the last year or so, but yeah, once in a while. And what I like to do is peel the bottom off and eat the meat out, and then eat the rest of the pasta.
I used to do that, yeah.
Hey.
Let me hit on something here real quick, though. You two are both fancy chefs in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I'm surprised you even have SpaghettiOs in your cabinet. But I am not the best cook, and I was even mortified when I saw her do this. I was like, no, you must stop that right now.
She was also wearing, like, a really nice...
this is odd for me to notice.
It was like a white... puffy kind of sweater thing, and I'm like, why would you wear that to cook SpaghettiOs
with anything red?
I don't know why. Like, it was just full of
everything.
Hairs.
Everything was wrong with that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Every time I hear the word SpaghettiOs, it takes me back to one scene when I was living in Henderson. I was a little kid, and I don't know how it happened. I don't remember how it got there. But in the kitchen at that house, that's the kitchen that I burned down one time with a grease fire and put it out myself. Okay, so I don't know how it got there, but way, way, way high on the kitchen wall was one SpaghettiO. And I think I was the only person that saw it because it never got removed. And it was there for years. And I would sit there and eat my breakfast or whatever. And I'd look up at that SpaghettiO and be like, hey, there you are. You're there.
And you never once said, Mom, why is there a SpaghettiO on the wall?
No way. Because that was my thing.
And yeah. Then, and I kind of with you on that.
Yeah. But then listen to this. So as it went, you know, I burned the kitchen down. It had to be painted. The painters came and painted over the SpaghettiO.
Remove it?
No, it stayed. And so even though
crazy lazy, that's awesome.
It was painted, but the SpaghettiO was still there. I could still see the outline of it. So I never lost that SpaghettiO.
Oh, God.
Your little friend was still there.
That's fantastic. See, what I would almost like, that's one of those things that you almost, like, you do something to mess with somebody at work or something. Like, you would do something to their debt. Well, you and I would do that to each other, bruh.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we would message with each other's stuff to see how long it would take someone to notice.
Yeah.
Like, we had a honey bun that we would move from office to office.
That went back and forth for, like, a year or so, maybe longer.
Longer, because, I mean, I didn't find it for, like, a long time, and then I think, like, I would wait till you'd leave the office, and I would hide it in your office.
Uh-huh.
But that's kind of one of those fun things. Like, you know, your SpaghettiO was, like, that was your private thing, and also to see if anyone else would notice.
But the thing is... how did it get so high up? What was going on in that kitchen that day for that SpaghettiO to get so high up on this? And the velocity that it took for it to stick there and never leave.
Was it the only one? Or were there other ones lower that they could reach and they just couldn't get up there? And they were like, whatever.
That was the only one I ever saw. But back to your thing about the honey bun. Man, we were so creative with that. It would be like... in the ceiling, and just the little tiny bit of the wrapper would be showing out of the ceiling. Or he would, like, duct tape it under my chair.
I taped it under your desk.
Oh, that's a good one.
You got a little tiny baby, one of your daughter's child boots on your desk. It was in there for a minute.
Oh, you know why that came back to me? Because you left your window down one day.
That's right.
And I threw it in your car.
And then I was crazy confused why I had a child boot in my car.
Yeah, that one. I put a few things in your car that day, but she had outgrown the boots, and I had one boot in my car, and I was like, this is going in Maddie's car for no reason.
That's right. I forgot about that.
But we did it with, like, mayonnaise packs. And
that mayonnaise, you had one up, and I knew it was there, but then it became a thing of, like, let's see how long this can go. But it was up, stuck, like, in the heating vent in the... in my ceiling. But I don't remember what made us take it. Well, I say us. I don't know what made me take it down. I think I got scared that it would rupture.
Come on,
what
man.
About those weird Japanese Jello things that you had? That were
oh, those are still in the condiment drawer, I think, at work.
Unless are they?
Do you think someone's gone in now since we've been gone and cleaned all that crap
no.
out?
No. Oh,
I
my
hope
God.
So.
Did I tell you guys when my daughter and I had to go up to the office for something, and I don't remember what it was, but we went in the main break room, not the little one by our studio, but we went in the main break room, and for whatever reason, I opened the refrigerator.
Oh.
And the foulest funk.
Oh no!
From, you know, 400 years hit me in the face, and
oh,
I realized
gosh.
This was from that taco day we had in February.
Oh, whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, that wins. Oh no! Oh, it's
yeah.
Taco so Tuesday from
and
a,
it was
a
like
day gone by.
Liquid toppings. Everything oh. that had been in there was liquid and just awful. So I threw it all away. I did my duty.
Oh no! Come on, Bruh. That would have been amazing to see if that's like a year. We could have done a fun viral TikTok video eating a year old taco.
Oh my God, no.
Oh God, no.
No way,
I don't want to die.
Hey guys.
So we were talking on the radio show about the difference it makes in during these times where you don't have to put on actual clothes to go to work. You know, you're working at home, a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference in your mindset, if you do take the time to get dressed, which I do every day of life, I put on my khakis and my crisp button down, and I put on my loafers and my, like today I have on Mr. Rogers socks.
So do you even do that like on Saturdays when you don't really have to go anywhere and whatever, you still get up and get dressed?
Yes, but it depends. If I am not going anywhere, like if I'm just sitting around watching Westerns, I don't necessarily do that. But if I leave the house, like I told you, if I go to the mailbox or if I roll the trash can in, I do get dressed.
See, I was, you know, okay, so I did slide back during my COVID days when I was at my sick point. I was definitely rocking my sweatpants a lot. That's where I wore out a pair. I just finally found a cool pair of sweatpants that I dig, some Adidas ones at Costco. But and I wish I'd bought more because now they don't have them anymore. But anywho, but yeah, then I was rocking my sweatpants. But for the most part, I've been getting up and taking a shower and, you know, like I do my stupid quote-unquote commute to the basement.
Yeah.
But then again, my day-to-day clothes are, I don't have khakis or button-ups that I wear. I'm already casual. So.
Yeah, you are already.
I'm still wearing my pajamas as we speak.
Wow. But that doesn't mess you up in the head? It doesn't make you feel like you're not doing as much as you could be doing? Because if I just stayed in my casual clothes, I don't think I'd be driven to finish my work. I don't think I'd do it.
I will say, as a woman, getting ready takes much longer than it does for most men. Yeah. As far as like with me, if I'm actually getting ready, I will do my hair and I will put makeup on, and it's like it's a process. So that takes some time. So, you know, that whole thing, it's like, I'm not going anywhere. Why should I take all that time to do that? But also, it's like I got up and then started doing stuff and did the show this morning, and it's like I just haven't had time to go put clothes on.
Okay.
You know, that's a funny thing about being married is that I've realized, again, it takes me maybe 10 minutes to finish up in the bathroom. I mean, shaved head aside, it's a quick lathering, rinse, you know, dry off, and I'm done, you know, versus like if my wife's like, I'm going to jump in the shower, I'm like, wait, let me get in there real quick. You know, like at bed, like she'll go to take a shower and I'm like, let me brush my teeth and stuff. She's like, God, you're taking forever. I'm like, listen, no, you're taking forever. I want to get in bed. I don't want to just lounge around and wait for you.
Well, the other thing that came up when we were talking about that was Charlie asked if I ever wear casual clothes.
I can say that you do.
The only time I can remember seeing you slightly casual was when we had to do that big barbecue festival at the fairgrounds. And I think you were wearing like Simon t-shirts, which was as casual as I've ever seen you.
I was wearing a bowling shirt to one of those, a black and white Lansky Brothers bowling shirt to one. But yeah, I was probably wearing a Simon shirt to one of those. But yeah, Maddie's seen me in shorts and a t-shirt.
I have. And it's terrifying because it's like, it throws
you
off.
He's always so perfectly dressed. Like, this is the man that takes all his shirts to the dry cleaners. So they're all pressed perfectly. And his pants are pressed perfectly. And he has an outfit on.
Look.
And so to see him in casual clothing, it's just disconcerting.
Ish. T-shirt with a picture on it. You're like, ah, what's happening? Who are you?
Have you been kidnapped?
Shorts. What is this?
I don't do it often. Oh, my God. Speaking of T-shirts, listen to this. Oh, my God. So, you know, I've collected T-shirts forever. I've got all my concert T-shirts and my Memphis T-shirts and various and assorted logo T-shirts that I love. And since I lost all that weight, I decided to go through and take the double X's and triple. I wore the triples because they gave me a lot of room. I used them as nightgowns. But anyway, I decided to take the double and triple X's out of rotation. And you cannot believe the mountain of T-shirts that I have now to make into quilts or whatever.
Wow.
And I'm having to re-T-shirt. I'm having to go and find new Elvis T-shirts and new Clint Eastwood T-shirts and stuff to go back in that I can wear that fit me because I'm in a large now. Instead
That's
of those,
awesome.
Those big ones. But yeah, it's sad though, because those are my, a friend of mine said, they tell your story and now they're just in a heap.
Oh, don't say that. Cause I've been going through and like whittling and I actually made some tough calls and got rid of like donated some shirts to like,
oh,
good
bro, no, no,
I know, but don't say they tell your story. Cause that's what I constantly like. I have a couple that I've been like carrying from house to house to house. Like there's one, like a listener in DC gave me a cool Pentagon shirt. And I don't even like to wear it, but I'm like, it's a cool shirt. Like, you know, hey, check it out. I got a cool shirt from the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
like another one where I traded shirts with a guy because I wanted his shirt. And he's like, well, fine, give me yours. Cause he, and it was super gross too, but I was.
Yeah, what was that scene? You ran into a random and you guys took off shirts and traded?
No, it was a guy I knew. He was bartending at this other bar and I loved that shirt. And he was like, well, fine. He had just gotten off shift, so he was crazy sweaty. And he's like, here. So me being me, I'm like, all right. So we traded shirts. So I wore his wet, sweaty shirt. And now I have it still.
You're an animal.
I know.
So I'm bad about, so I've moved numerous times through my life. I'm kind of a gypsy as far as that goes. And every time you move, you whittle things down just so that you don't have to move so much stuff. And somewhere along the line, I decided to whittle down some of my T-shirts. It was like I wasn't in a T-shirt phase. I wasn't really wearing them. It was like, why do I have 800 T-shirts? And so I believe that I've gotten rid of quite a few that now I wished I had kept. Thankfully, I did hang on to some, like some old Motley Crue tour shirts and some old Bon Jovi ones and things like that. And my sister-in-law made me a gorgeous rock and roll quilt.
I love that.
But there still would have been probably 30 more that I could have made another quilt out of.
Yeah. I'm thinking this quilt out of these T-shirts would be like for the neighborhood. It would be so big. There's so many dang. And they're huge. There's so many T-shirts and they're like tents. They're so big. All right. Switching over to some science news. I have some very exciting science news. We like to think that if you hear anything from the science world, you hear it from the Get Up Show.
Yes.
The Simon Says Podcast. First preserved dinosaur butthole is perfect and unique, paleontologist says. The first.
Wait a minute. So wait. They automatically now. You need to. We need to start a movement to put dinosaur buttholes on all the dinosaurs in all the museums. Like, well, you think the one at the Natural Science Center, you know, that giant T-Rex, did it have a butthole?
No. No. This
it's
is the
under
first
its tail.
One. Because you know, if you go to the Smithsonian with that big, beautiful elephant, he
no
has none. There is
butthole.
Not one there.
I even took a picture with me and my family posing to send to you to prove.
I took pictures of the kids in front of that so that they would always have that.
I'm concerned about your all's preoccupation with
don't worry
animal
about
buttholes.
It.
The first dinosaur butthole ever discovered is shedding light where the sun don't shine. The discovery reveals how dinosaurs used this multi-purpose opening, scientifically known as the cloacal vent. The dinosaur's derriere is so well preserved, researchers could see the remnants of two small bulges by its back door, which might have housed musky scent glands that the reptile possibly used during courtship. Ah, that's romance.
Ah, so dinosaurs sprayed like the tigers at the zoo?
Yeah. Although the dinosaur's caboose shares some characteristics with the backsides of some living creatures, it's also a one-of-a-kind opening, the researchers found.
Wow. It's magical.
Now, what do you think? When the scientists all get together at their yearly soiree, I'm the butthole scientist.
Yeah. Like, what did you discover?
I am the one who discovered it.
Yeah, man. We came up with a cure for coronavirus. Oh, yeah, that's awesome. What did you do? Oh, some space stuff. This is neat. What did you do? Oh, man, check this out. I found dinosaurs have buttholes.
He's the most popular guy at the party.
Not that they have them. They found one, and it's preserved. They found it. They found...
Yeah, but therefore proving the existence.
You're pretty sure we always thought they did.
We have one. Now we have one. And you know how people have kind of... The conjecture has been the dinosaurs were birds. You know, the birds evolved from dinosaurs. Right. Well, now this guy is saying... It doesn't quite look like the opening on birds, which are the closest living relatives of dinosaurs. It does look a bit like the back opening of a crocodile, but it's different in some ways.
I want that thing in a rotating glass case, much like the Hope Diamond.
Well,
so that we can all swarm around it and examine it in all its butthole glory.
And see it from all angles.
I just like any chance to use the term butthole. I think this is fantastic.
I think you've said it enough.
I don't know. I feel like we still have some time.
Well, Nicolas Cage will probably buy it.
Side note, I watched the History of Swearing on Netflix, and everyone said that it should have been Samuel L. Jackson. I thought that Nicolas Cage did a fantastic job, and that show, that series was great.
You've seen the whole thing?
Samuel L. Jackson's too predictable. That's
true.
That's the one you would guess. It's got to be somebody who's a little off.
Yeah, the episodes are only like 20 minutes. It's only six. They don't go through a whole ton of curses, but... I thought it was fantastic.
Was it very educational? Did you learn a whole lot about those words, where those words came from?
Some of them, the S word, I think was interesting because they had a whole theory behind it. Okay. But the craziest thing I learned about that is I did not realize that back in the day, people used to use very communal restrooms. It was like, picture like a line of holes and everybody would sit on them.
Yeah.
That's hilarious to me. Can you imagine? Like one of the comedians was talking. He's like, can you imagine like just everybody going and hanging out and pooping sideways?
But dude,
but it
was
better to have it like in one spot than to have them all over the place. So we have to be separate.
But can you imagine like the three of us or you're at a concert. You picture, Ziggy's back in the day in Winston used to have the trough and it
was pretty close.
Oh, I
hated those, man.
But, so basically the trough, but we're all like squat, like sitting.
Well,
and people are so private with that these days. It's like, don't even talk to me outside the door.
No,
I
don't want to know anybody's even there. No. I don't want to know there's any other humans. But before they had that communal thing, it was just out in the open street. You know, hey, how's it going? Ah, pretty good.
Gotta go.
What about you? Ah, you know what? Come to think of it, I'll join you.
I just picture my dog. And it's like, the three, like we let the dogs out and they let the three of them circle.
Who let the dogs out?
Me. I did. Oh. And then, but now I'm just picturing it as like we're all on a walk or something. Like, God, you know, give me a second, guys. And I just drop.
Yeah, all of you.
Yeah, not behind a bush or hiding behind a tree. You're just I guess. Wherever.
Well, you know, now that weird long pooping board doesn't seem so weird.
See? I'm glad we could help. Now, here's a dog story that has nothing to do with duty. That dog, that awesome dog, imitated the owner. The owner had a limp. And so the dog was limping, and the owner took it to the vet to find out what was wrong with the dog. And come to find out, there was nothing wrong with the dog. It was just imitating the owner's limp. It was like a sympathy thing. Isn't that amazing?
If you haven't seen it, we've got the video on our Simon Facebook page. But so the guy is on crutches and he has a big cast. He broke his ankle. He's got a big cast on his leg and he's going on his crutches. And so he's kind of hopping and his little greyhound doggy is hopping right beside him, holding one leg up.
Oh, that is just beautiful. And they really are a man's best friend.
I think that's funny, though. A little faker.
I know. He spent $400 trying to find out what was wrong with him.
That's the worst. Like, nah, your dog's just being your dog just doesn't want you to have all the glory right now. Like, oh, I'm hurt too. There's always that kid at school who's like, you know, someone comes in with a cast, suddenly they've got like extra band-aids or something. Like,
ace bandage.
Look at me, I'm hurt too.
Can you sign my ace bandage? So how did the lady bust her cheater with a lint roller? Tell us that one real quick.
Yo, this is like some serious CSI. So she took it. She thought that he was cheating on her. She took the lint roller and rubbed it all over his carpet.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they weren't living together. And long story short is she found some long red hairs. Needless to say, she has black hair, so therefore he is a dirty cheater.
Well, was there not
maybe
any other reason?
He just doesn't vacuum.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I mean, these like stray lady hairs. I mean, I get it. And you got
could have been Carrot Top.
Right.
Yeah.
It could have been the people that lived there before him.
Baby, what happened was, is Carrot Top came over to do some of his hilarious prop comedy in my bedroom, and it was amazing. Bozo the Clown was at my house.
Carrot Top had a sand bucket from the beach, and he reached in it to answer his shell phone, and I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
His hairs fell out.
They were talking about, which is funny because that reminds me of like the old story where you would vacuum your floor with a coffee filter in case you know you might have dropped some stuff and you wanted to save it. Yeah. So maybe, you know, like, but how crazy do you get to that point where you're like, I know how I can bust this guy, which also goes back to the not the tinsel lady, but the...
Oh, the glitter lady.
Glitter lady.
I mean, I'm pretty impressed with this lint roller lady's private investigating. I think it was quite conniving. I like it.
It is. But I feel bad that she felt like she needed to do that. There's other issues going on if you're that distrusting where you're going to lint roll the floor, you know?
Well, but obviously she was right because she found red hairs. So, I mean... It wasn't like she was just like this crazy jealous woman with no grounds to be doing it. She was right.
Yeah, no, sadly, though, he did have an Irish setter. So, I mean, it's hard to tell.
Okay, then. See, I knew it was going to turn out okay.
No.
There's an explanation for everything.
It's my dog.
So, listen, we appreciate everybody being here. And next week, we hope... We're talking to the powers that be about being able to do another one of these, and we really hope we can. So if you want to subscribe and like and rate and share these with your friends, and per Maddie's instruction, put it on the end of a stick and rub it on your friends from a safe distance. It has to be at least a 6-foot-long stick to rub it on your friends. That's how you need to do it until the fall when Fauci says you can rub on your friends safely again.
Wait, I thought we weren't supposed to bring ourselves like to the attention of the powers that be. If they don't know we're here... they won't know to cancel us.
Now they know that you're thinking that. All right. Final thoughts, Charlie. What you got on your mind?
Oh, gosh. Just, you know, if your dog is limping beside you, they're being sweet. They're not hurt.
Isn't that sweet?
Yes.
Maybe the guy was getting a lot of attention, like Maddie said, and the dog just wanted some of that.
Exactly.
All right. What's your final thought, Matt?
I was just thinking, going back to the dinosaur butthole, that, you know, someone had to taste a beaver butthole to realize it tasted like raspberries. So how do we know what a dinosaur butthole tastes like?
Well, you can find out. Let us know.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Things that you will do for science. I know. Amazing.
I can't wait to get my Nobel Prize.
Thanks, everybody. Next time.
Bye.